Welcome back to Southern Ghost Stories. I'm your host, American Hauntstorian, Alan Searcy. Now, I love a good ghost story, but one thing that trumps that is a real-life Frankenstein story. I got one for you today in Nashville, Tennessee. Let's go ahead and jump right into it. On January 14, 1879, Patton Foster went to visit his sister, Elizabeth Wittenmeyer, and her family at their small log cabin near Bell's Bend in West Nashville. When Patton knocked on the door, he got no answer. Well, Patton heard his 18-month-old nephew crying, so he cracked open the door and he peeked inside. As he opened the door, Patton saw something very alarming. He saw his sister Emily and brother-in-law John in bed, and they were covered in blood. Patton raced to the bed and noticed not only was the left side of Emily's face caved in, but John's right eye socket had been smashed so severely that the eyeball had been knocked out of place. Neither were responsive. Making it even worse was the fact that Patton's nephew was crying and frantically crawling around on top of his dead mother, trying to nurse. When the police arrived, they discovered only three items were missing: two of John's coats and his wallet. They talked to a ferry operator who mentioned that he had carried Knox Martin across the Cumberland River earlier in the day. Now, Knox Martin was a former slave who had done some work for the family, so the ferry operator knew who he was. However, when he took the ferry back across, he was spotted wearing a long black overcoat that matched a description of the one taken from John's cabin. Police caught Knox a few days later, and when they interrogated him, he broke down and confessed to killing the Wittenmeyer family after a dispute. Knox had agreed to work for the family for a year, but then had second thoughts and decided against it. When he told John Wittenmeyer, things got ugly. John refused to pay him, and Knox swore revenge and went back the next day to kill him and his wife. On March 28, 1879, Knox was convicted of first-degree murder and sentenced to die. On the day of his execution, Sheriff John L. Price and Knox Martin rode in a wagon through downtown Nashville, all the way to Murfreesboro Road, past Brown's Creek, where 10,000 people were waiting to watch the deadly spectacle. Back then, an execution was akin to like a carnival or a fair in today's times. So, that spot on Murfreesboro Road. Today, if you're familiar with Nashville, that's where Trevecca Nazarene University is located. So, among the people in attendance were Dr. Summers and Dr. Steger. Both men were fans of Mary Shelley's Frankenstein and intrigued by the idea of galvanism and how it could be used to revive the dead. But let's back up here a second. When Mary Shelley published Frankenstein in 1818, it took the world by storm. It was, in fact, the first ever science fiction novel. Shortly after it came out, doctors and scientists all over Europe and America began performing the same kind of unholy experiments on animals, and eventually cadavers of human beings. But since family members wouldn't turn their bodies over for these kinds of experiments, usually it was poor, condemned men with no family that became willing test subjects. You see, doctors would go visit the prisoners in jail and give them some silver or some food, and strike some sort of deal. There were a few occasions where doctors convinced the prisoners they might even be revived and allowed to go free, since, in essence, their sentence had been carried out. I mean, really, what do they have to lose? So many agreed and willingly took the deal. Knox Martin did. He agreed to have electric current hooked up to his lifeless body. Maybe it could bring him back. So, back to the execution in South Nashville. Knox climbed the scaffold that day, and he stood over the trap door while the sheriff placed a noose around his neck. A preacher stood next to him and said a short prayer. Sheriff Price walked to the scaffold and read the death warrant in front of all the people. When the signal was given, the sheriff cut the rope that dropped the trap door to the scaffold. With the rope tied around his neck, Knox dropped and died within a few minutes. The doctors ran over and tried to get Knox down, but they were scolded by the sheriff, who refused to turn over his body. Sheriff Price wanted Knox to hang for a little while, just to make sure he was really dead. After 15 full minutes, the sheriff consulted with the coroner. The coroner inspected Knox and assured the sheriff that he was dead. At that point, Sheriff Price gave the doctors permission to take possession of Knox Martin's body. Knox's remains were cut down and lowered into a coffin, and he was carried up a hill to a small cabin where the doctors placed him on a table. They quickly started massaging his muscles in an attempt to get the blood to circulate throughout the body. Then they hooked wires from a galvanized battery to Knox's heart and his temples. The switch was flipped, sending current flowing through Knox's body. The dead man lifted his head and his eyes opened. His chest contracted three times as he appeared to take three deep breaths. By this point, spectators gathered around the cabin and they were shouting that Knox had been revived. However, the excitement was short-lived. The battery had run out of juice, and Knox's body fell back to the table. The doctors checked his vital signs, and he was pronounced dead once again. Nevertheless, the doctors were encouraged by the experiment, and they wanted to see if they could revive him again. They placed Knox's body in a wagon and hauled him to the nearby University of Nashville Literary Department building. But this time, there were no spectators or media personnel on hand. After an hour or so, the doctors walked out of the building. Strangely, they refused to talk about what had happened behind closed doors. Now, this is where it gets really, really wacky. Word began to spread in South Nashville that doctors actually revived Knox and secretly let him go free. There were rumors he went to Kansas, where he could go and start his life over. Articles began appearing in the local newspaper, the Tennessean, and there was a debate on whether Knox would have to be hanged again if he was caught, if indeed he was still alive. Well, a week after the experiments, the Tennessean published an article from a farmer in Madison County, Alabama. According to him, he had met a tall man named Knox Martin. The farmer claimed that Knox told him that he had died and was brought back to life, and that two doctors revived him in Nashville. With a new lease on life, Knox was walking home to Jackson County, Alabama, where his family was from. But even stranger, a few days later, the president of the Nashville Savings Bank received a mysterious package sent from Montgomery, Alabama. Inside the parcel was a portrait of Knox Martin, as well as a piece of rope that was said to be used in the hanging. After that, the trail went cold to Knox Martin. Some say the doctors gave up on their second attempt and buried him in an unmarked pauper's grave in nearby Mount Olivet Cemetery. Some say he was revived and made it to Kansas or Alabama, and he lived to be a very old man. And there are others that claim his spirit still lurking around the old building in Nashville that's now known as Lindsley Hall. Now, I'm 99.999% sure they didn't revive Knox Martin that day. But man, I mean, really, what a story. But that isn't the only Frankenstein story in the area. It wasn't even the first. A few decades earlier, in 1842, a similar experiment was carried out on the Franklin Square, roughly 15 miles from where Knox was allegedly revived. Dr. Ferdinand Stith, an eccentric physician from Pennsylvania, struck a deal with a slave who was going to be hanged. After the execution, Dr. Stith recovered the body, and he took it to his office where a similar scenario played out. Dr. Stith was able to make the executed prisoner's muscles twitch and even got his eyes to open before his battery died. And after that, the young man's body just wilted away. These kind of experiments happen all the time, and they're now all but a forgotten footnote in history. If you'd like to read more about Knox Martin or Dr. Stith's experiment in Franklin, check out Southern Ghost Stories South Nashville and Southern Ghost Stories Franklin, Tennessee. We have plenty of books online about haunted history all over the country. You can find the Southern Ghost Stories books at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. If you go to Barnes & Noble and you don't find it, ask the manager if they can order it for you. Every store carries different titles. So be sure to subscribe and leave us a comment and review. Follow Southern Ghost Stories on Facebook and YouTube. You can follow me on Twitter at ATO Allen. You can send me some questions and I'll try to answer them on the show. So check back next week for one of my favorite stories from Ghost Stories from Graveyard Tales Chicago, The House of Seven Bathrooms. And be sure, if you're in St. Louis, come by Transworld Halloween this week. I'll be there in the Ghost Stories and Graveyard Tales booth, talking all kinds of things about ghost stories and grave robbing. You name it, I've got it, and I've got books, and I'll be there all week. So come see me at Transworld Halloween. It's going to be a great, great time. We'll see you next time.